Good morning. This morning's scripture reading comes from the anonymously written letter of the Hebrews. Filled with many references to the Hebrew Bible, Hebrews is often viewed as a Christian reading of the First Testament. This morning's particular passage contains some very controversial topics: hospitality, ministry with the wounded, worship, sex, and money. The reading begins. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
What would you guess to be the most popular sculpture of all time? Well, I would guess that Michelangelo's David would be among the top of your guesses. And I have some very bad news for you if you like that sculpture. It is on very shaky ground. The foundations are crumbling. It says that he has hairline fractures in his ankles, and scientists are worried that he is going to crumble to his eventual demise in the somewhat near future. Now, that might come as a surprise to you if you've ever been to Florence in the museum and visited this impressive sculpture. 17 feet tall, 6 tons it weighs. Seems like it's immovable, and nothing could ever stop this sculpture from standing in its amazing stature. The problem, they say, is with its design. It is off balance. The center of gravity for the base of the sculpture is not in alignment with the center of gravity for the actual sculpture. And over time, cracks have been forming in the base and in the legs and in the ankles. They're concerned that over time, ground tremors, perhaps earthquakes now with the rumbles of traffic, and even with a recent development of having a subway tunnel put near the museum, that this will crumble to the ground. We can switch to the next slide. What about you? How are your foundations? Have you ever thought about what foundations support you? The foundations that support your living, your being in the world? I mean, if we don't have good foundations, everything else around us collapses, right? Are you on shaky ground? Or are you firmly planted solid in the ground? Do you have little hairline fractures starting to form around your base? Or are you as solid as a rock? I would suggest that Hebrews passage that Barbara just read for us invites us into considering some of the foundations for good Christian living in the world. Now, that is written to a first century Roman occupied world inviting them into Christian principles in their living. And it echoes through two millennia, giving us continued principles in ways that we might found our living today, the way the foundations of our living and how we might live into the future. There are five different areas of foundation that I think are important for us to pick up and talk about a little bit during our reflection time this morning. The first one is a call to be people of hospitality. The text says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." In Greek, it says, philoxenia. Philo, one of the words in Greek for love, of course. And xenia, the love of the strange. Now, for the Hebrew people, they have a history of relying on strangers for hospitality, in fact, for their very survival. They were aliens, sojourners in a strange land, and that hospitality of strangers being taken into their homes, being fed, was indeed necessary for their very survival over the ages. They would remember stories like Abraham and Sarah, there at the Oak of Mamre, inviting the three strangers over and in being surprised because they entertained angels without even knowing it. That's what the biblical reference in Hebrews is to. Jesus, of course, relied on the hospitality of strangers as well, didn't he? He went from town to town, village to village, staying at different homes. And it was their hospitality that allowed him to offer this ministry, and those people, in the end, entertained the Christ angel without even knowing it, didn't they? Well, this is a challenge for us, isn't it? Because today we teach our children, I know I did, stranger danger, remember that? And I think as adults we continue to remember that, and we are a little bit cautious of strangers in our world today. But I wonder, though, if we read this text two millennia later, if there's still somewhere in this is a safe way for us to be in ministry with strangers, for us to entertain angels without even knowing it, and to find that ministry of hospitality. Now, in a couple weeks, we have something very exciting happening. We have the Fall Fair. Now, in a couple weeks, that Fall Fair is going to be a tremendous, I know it's a big fundraising opportunity. But I'm going to suggest, and you're going to be surprised, someone like me, it's also a ministry opportunity too. This is an opportunity for us when we will be inviting the entire Greater Surrey community, Fleetwood, North Surrey, inviting them over for tea, inviting them to gather together with us, to laugh together, to enjoy the sunshine, to have fun together, and for them to get to know what the good people of Northwood are all about. This is an opportunity, as the text says, to entertain angels without even knowing it. Now, I know you make Sunday worship a priority in your life. And I know that many people make various groups priorities in their life. Bible study, private devotions, all the things we do for our spiritual lives. I would suggest that the Fall Fair should also be a spiritual priority in your life. I would suggest that is an opportunity for us to entertain angels without even knowing it, to reach out to the greater community, and in this call, to live out a ministry of hospitality the way that we are called to be Christian disciples. The second part of the foundation is a call to love. The text says, let mutual love continue. The early Christian community saw themselves as family. They may not have been related biologically, but they saw one another as family. If you were to read throughout the letter of Hebrews, you would see constant references to one another as siblings. They saw themselves as brothers, as sisters, and they loved one another as such. I love how church communities call themselves church family. We call ourselves, this is my Northwood United Church family. And we love one another as such. Now, I'm fairly new here, of course. But in my time that I've been around, I have started to pick up on what makes this community so deep and wonderful. It's mutual love. I've heard stories about people when they were newcomers to this church, how they were invited out by others for coffee, for lunch. I've even heard stories where people were invited into people's homes for lunch or dinner as they were settling in and getting to know one another. We had a wonderful baby born, baby Danica. She's with us today. It's wonderful to see her. I was attending a baby shower not too long ago. So many people from Northwood gathered, celebrated the birth of this wonderful little girl. Wonderful examples of mutual love continuing. But we can't stop there. We always have to be asking ourselves the question, who is left out? Who needs to be invited to the party? Who is not invited and not included in the family? We always need to be expanding the boundaries of love. I know in the United Church, we don't like to talk very much about evangelism. It's almost like a bad word, right? But I think in this context, we need to be thinking about who we invite to the party, who we authentically share our Christian love with. Church growth continues to be the most popular way, the best way for church growth continues to be mutual relationship, personal invitation. That continues to be the way, the best way that churches grow. We can take out a whole boatload of ads, we can do all kinds of things, but the best way churches grow and continue to flourish is one-on-one connecting with people. Bring a friend to church Sunday, that kind of stuff. Inviting people, sharing our faith continues to be the way that churches grow and flourish. It's the way the faith grows and flourish, and I suspect it's the way that you first grew in your faith as well. Well, the boundaries of love continue to be expanded, and they're expanded in this context to those who are in prison, those who are being tortured. The text says, remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are being tortured as though you yourself were being tortured. First century Roman prisons were horrific places. They were quite often filled with people that were arrested for practicing the Christian faith, because that was illegal, of course. And the very survival of prisoners in chains was dependent upon the visits from those other people on the outside, bringing hope, bringing food, bringing love. It was so critical for them to visit and to love those people who were in prison. Now, 2 millennia later, we have a very different context and a different world that we live in, but people continue to be in chains, to be oppressed. And as I think about this call to the church, I wonder if perhaps this call is being expressed here at Northwood with our ministry to the Syrian refugee family. We have done a lot of work with the Colebrook United Church partnership, and a lot of work will continue to need to be done in the future. Liberating a family, liberating people to come to a new land and to start again will be a tremendous amount of work, a tremendous amount of prayer, but it is the call of the church to liberate people, to be with people that are indeed imprisoned. Well, the text continues, as Barbara said earlier, to get a little bit more controversial as it goes on. You've heard the story or the saying, sex and politics and money do not belong in the pulpit. Well, the writer to Hebrews does not agree with that saying. First of all, the writer addresses the topic of money. And today, to our consumeristic, disposable culture, we are given a word about being happy with what we have. We are given a word about living simply and being delighted with what God has blessed us with. I think in some ways this is probably the hardest call for all of us, because that is the air we breathe, isn't it? We live in a world that teaches us that we're supposed to need stuff, and we're only good because of this stuff that we need. We need the newest iPhone. We need the newest car. We need the newest purse or whatever it is that strikes our fancy. The text says there should be a place in our living for contentment. We should be able to be content with the way God blessed us. In the text, the Greek, it translates in English to be an anti-love of money. We should be content with how God has blessed us. And that is challenging because we live in a world that judges us based on what we have and what we don't. Well, the most controversial is saved for the end. Sex. Sex and marriage. Marriage should be honored, and sexuality within that covenant relationship should not be defiled. Sex is a pretty quiet matter in the church, isn't it? We don't talk a lot about it. It's something that we don't speak about. We don't talk a lot about marriage, although we do weddings. I'm not sure if that's really a good thing anymore. Not that we should talk about it every week, but once in a while, I think it's important to visit it. Did you know that there is a website today, a very popular website apparently, called Ashley Madison? And the website, the tagline for it, if you don't know about it, it's called Life is Short, Have an Affair. The entire purpose of Ashley Madison is to promote extramarital affairs, to help people get together that are married. And apparently it's very, very popular. In our disposable society, it's important, I think, for us to visit these kind of topics. Now, certainly some marriages inevitably come to an end, and there is no place for abuse, and people need to come to an end in those kind of situations. But in other times, we also live in a disposable society, and sometimes I think we place relationships under that same category. I think it's good for us to speak about the values and the honor of marriage and relationships. And this is a hard call for us, a hard call for myself, because many of us have suffered the pain and the upset of a marriage that has come to an end. We've had to deal with the reality and the pain of that occurring in our own lives. We've had to deal with the aftermath of what that meant and to find a healing and hope and to love oneself again. I know when I work in my ministry with couples that are planning for a second marriage, what I always talk to them about is what they've learned from their past, how they have grown, how they are approaching this second relationship and this second covenant in their lives. And what I find interesting today is I think people are paying attention to Hebrews and to these kind of values. I'm almost seeing a growing conservatism in our culture. I think people are taking things very, very seriously now. And that's a good thing. Well, these are hard challenges. These are challenging pillars in our foundations for us to pay attention to and to try and live out. I think the good news for us is the more we live into them, the easier they get. The stronger our foundations get. The more reinforced we have and the more we are able to live out our way as followers of the way of Jesus. Because I think the more we live into God's ways, the more we get closer to God and the more God resonates and lives inside of us. And it gets easier and easier. The more we follow God's calls, the more we live God's ways, the more we live out our faith, the more our foundations indeed are strengthened and reinforced. We come to an end of our reflection. I wanted to just close with a musical term that I came across, and I think it's perfect timing that Tabitho is back with us. So wonderful to have you back, Tabitho, and your bass. The term is called sympathetic resonance. And what it essentially means is that different musical instruments speak to one another. So when one musical instrument is played, the other musical instrument, even if there is no musician, will speak gently back to that musical instrument that is being played. So for example, Gina plays the E-flat key on her piano. Even if Tabitho is not at his bass, the E-flat key will ever so gently resonate back. He's nodding. The two instruments speak to one another. And friends, that is good news, because that is what I would suggest is what faith life is all about as well. Because as we open our lives to God speaking, to God teaching us calls in living, as we open our lives to God's ways, to God's teaching, to God's love, to God's sound, our lives start to resonate back with that very same sound. The good news is that even if you might think you have little foundational cracks in your life, the good news is that even if you might think your foundations are crumbling, good news is that God is speaking to you, and you just need to open your life up to God to allow those foundations to gently begin to heal and to get stronger and stronger over time. Good news is that there is hope. Good news is that God is speaking to us, healing us, offering us new life and new beginnings. Thanks be to God. Amen.